Bob. Thank you, Carla. So just a little bit of an insight of where we are. Totally two different ministries, totally two different personalities, but it works. And it's still working. So it's one good thing is, you know, when you know you got good people serving with you, you don't have to replace people very often. You know, we've had just been doing the mail ministry for so long now. How many years now? Almost, maybe like 18 years, seven. So, yeah, so 13 years, and I think Chris started it for about a year and a half, and then Scott had it for many years, now Bob has it. So I don't have to keep going through looking for new people all the time. And then Carla's been on this one since it started. So I'm very happy with that, and very happy with the volunteers and staff members and those things. And this is why I like to pull from the church, because I know this is why I like to look for positions when we have one open. I like to look at them from within first, because I know that as we bleed the blood here, we know what it's about. And this is why I struggle having to reach out outside the church, because here's what I know. When we hire outside the church, they don't last very long at all. They just don't. This is why I try to hire within the church. But today is our ministry focus today. I do want to remind you before I forget that all the funds that we give today are all going to the ministries. It is a blessing for that, because some people would like to give to the ministries. They feel more obligated on a regular basis to give to their tithes and offer to their tithes. And they do that. And that's a good thing. But today, everyone has an opportunity to whatever you give financially goes to the ministries. My allergies are bothering me just as many of you. I've heard Deb Thorne got a deep voice, and yeah, so other people. So anyway, so all the offerings go to the ministries today. And if you look in your bulletin, there is a graph there. We are praying that God will grant us and give us $75,000 between now and the end of the year. For the November 1st, for the next 61 days, and now we are almost at 6,000, so that's an amazing piece. And it is truly what it is. As Bob was saying, that it isn't, you know, he supplies all the food and all those things, and he's the one who gets the glory. It's the same thing with the finances. I mean, there's no way this church is going to raise $75,000. If we had to do that, some of us would have to sell some of our houses yeah, we'd be eating and living with one another. So, we're going to be in the book of Mark this morning. I want to share some things with you about ministry today. So that's what we're talking about. But while you're turning there, I want to remind you of something that went on back in the parable that Jesus said. We're going to be in the book of Mark in chapter 3. So if you want to turn there, but I want to read something out of Luke for a minute. It's a kind of a little bit of the parable of the Good Samaritan, where this man was beat up on the road and people walked by. But it says, I want to read this up. It says, but a Samaritan, when I was on his journey, he came to him and he saw a man and he had compassion. He went over to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on olive oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to the inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. When I come back, I'll reimburse you for whatever extra costs you spend. Father, Lord, we thank you for the day. We thank you for this moment that we have to share and to express and to dive into some things of ministry. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us such great ministries here that are so much bigger than ourselves, which causes us to rely on you. And that's what all ministries should be anyway, always bigger than the people that are doing it, but never bigger than you. We pray, Father, in these next few minutes that you'll work through these scriptures with us today. We thank you, Lord, for the testimony and the sharing from Bob and Carla, kind of what's happening, what's going on in their hearts. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We thank you for what you're doing with this church. We know you're not done, and we thank you for not being done. And we ask this and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. So we see that. I want you to keep in mind that story of the Good Samaritan. Now I want to go over into Mark chapter 3. Some of the stuff that Mr. Phil Jones was reading earlier is we're going to look into some of that, but we're going to go into the smaller version of it in the book of Mark, chapter 3. There's a few things in here that's a little different than the other, or added that's not in the other one. And that's what the Gospels do. They give you some more information, and some see it in different ways, in different angles. but it's still God's word. He's talking about a house divided. This is what it is, about a house divided. And just how that just even came up. If you came to Sunday school, you saw that today, and you read about unity. And this message today is a little bit about ministry and the house. We can't be divided and how messy ministry is and those kind of things. But I want to also just say real quickly that I think Phil came up and told me that we had 41 in Sunday school today. I don't think we've had 41 for a long time. So this whole switch, that's a good sign. And I talked to Ed. Ed was in double digits. And we had like six or seven. So, and it's like, yes, I think that's good, don't you? So let's give the Lord a pause for that. Yes. Amen. 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 So what I love about Sunday school is when you're in part of it, you're doing it, you're already reading the word before the message even comes. So what we're going to see here is we're going to see this piece about Jesus. He's going to speak some words, but we're going to see this part in verse 20. Then he went home, and the crowd gathered again so that they were not even able to eat. Got to stop right there. I may not even get through these scriptures today. It's amazing how God just hits you with something right out the gate. You guys that preach, you know. He says, then he went home and the crowd gathered around again so that they were not even able to eat. Let me tell you, when ministry gets so busy, sometimes you ain't got time to eat. Sometimes you got to call and say, not coming home right now. Can't be there right now. Not going to be able to make it because they've got to do some ministry work. Ministry is messy. I'm just going to tell you. At least the type of ministry we do. It's messy. Jesus went home to take a minute, but the crowd just kept following. And we're not even able to eat. That's already stressful enough. That already gets stressful enough. And then it's going to get more stressful. You see, listen, let me just say, I don't have an option not to be here. Not because I'm your pastor, because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. That's how we all should feel. I don't have an option not to be here because I don't want to not be here. I'm not going to let all this other stuff get in my way and my walk and my calling with God. I have an option. I don't lay out to lay out. I'm afraid if I'm not going to be, I'm going to miss something from God. And I don't want to miss the things of God. And he wasn't able to eat. When his family heard this, they set out to restrain him. Because they said, he's out of his mind. Let me tell you, I may try to arrive here at a certain time in the mornings. I may try to leave at a certain time in the afternoon. But I'm going to tell you, in ministry, you have no clock. I'm just telling you. You have no clock in and clock out. The calls come. And how they love to come on the weekends. Jesus is busy about ministry. I want to remind you that there are different types of ministries, but all ministries must lead people to Christ. Whether you're making snow cones on a corner, and you're doing a soup kitchen, you're doing housing, or you're blowing up balloons, I don't care. The gospel. Some of us need to get serious about our walk with the Lord. I just want to remind you of that. His family was beginning to say, we got to hold him back because he's going crazy. This is all he's doing. Let me tell you, when you get a ministry in your heart, you get the passion of Christ into your heart, you get that in you, that's who you become. That's what you become, and it's okay. It's okay. I wouldn't want to do anything else. I have become what God has called me to do and be. And they said he was out of his mind, and they're trying to restrain him. You can't be doing this stuff all the time. Well, that's exactly why Jesus came. You know, we can try to add up all the hours of ministry we do, but you know what? When Jesus was doing his ministry, can you imagine the hours that he had? And it's not competing about hours, because let me tell you, when he went off to pray for a while, that's ministry. You know why? Because he was always praying for others. And that's ministry. Because when you start praying for others, you gotta knuckle down and you gotta go past the feelings that you have towards somebody sometimes. And that takes work to be able to pray for those that you dislike, or those you struggle with, or those that have done something against you. And that's some of the hardest ministry work you're going to do, is to start praying for them. And do it, not grudgingly or reluctantly, but doing it out of your own heart. So what we see here is Jesus is doing all kinds of ministry. He's going home to take a break. Going home for a minute. That's not going to happen. The crowd follows. Family says, you're out of your mind, Jesus. You're out of your mind. Stop. Stop. Let me tell you, sometimes family will tell you to stop. I say, get out of the way. I love you, but you're in my way. Well, you don't spend enough time with the family. You don't spend enough time. Listen, out of the way. Doesn't mean I don't love my family. It doesn't mean I don't love my family at all. I love my family. It doesn't mean you don't love your family. Does it make you better than them? It's just God's put a purpose in you, and you are to live out that purpose and to fulfill it. To fulfill the destiny God's called you to. And then the scribes begin to say, so it's funny how they kind of found their way down there too. The scribes who had come from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub in him, and he drives out demons by the ruler of demons. Basically, they were saying, oh, he's got Satan in him. That's how he's driving out demons. You see, Jesus' ministry was really just, people was fanatical. But it wasn't fanatical, it was amazing. Casting out demons would scare 90% of you right now. 90%. The other problem is 5% would be drawing to it. And then there's 5% that might understand. Not something you chase, it's something you have to deal with. Because there's a lot of broken, there's a lot, it's in ministry, there's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of, you know, people are messy, which means sin is messy. Ministry becomes messy. There's a lot of people that come into the church here, even with addictions. And a past that there has some horrible things happen. And some have records, criminal records from their past. It's a lot of things that people carry into the church. And some carry demonic. And we have to deal with each one appropriately as the Lord leads. And it becomes uncomfortable at times. But the challenge of growing our faith is a part of that. And we have to do that if we do what God's called us to do. We have to be okay with people coming in that are messy. We have to be comfortable with people sitting in our pews that are messy. But we do not have to be comfortable with all the ugliness and just accept it as okay. So we have to stand in the gap. It's what God's called us to do. Stand at the gap of brokenness and street, a highway of hurt and pain and suffering. And we stand there and people have an opportunity to come into this church and try to figure out what's going on in their life as we begin to feed into them and supply them some ways to find hope through Christ and through some of the things that they're working through. And the faces change on a regular basis. And some of them need more help than others. We can't shy away from people that are in captivity and bondage of sin, addictions of brokenness, and not even demonic. We have to work through those things. But Jesus says, he summoned them and spoke to them this parable. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rebels against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is finished. We need to remember that ourselves, that we need to be united. We need to be united together under the gospel, under Jesus Christ, and under the vision of the church. If you're not part of the vision of the church, I would assume say that you're in the wrong church. No one wants to lose people in a church, but sometimes you need to let people go because they don't want to be about that vision, and that's okay. Sometimes God draws them away. Sometimes they need to go somewhere else because God wants to use them somewhere else. It's not always a bad thing, but don't be in a place where you feel miserable, where you're just wanting to buck horns with everyone in the church or about the vision. So Jesus was saying, I'm not filled with Satan. How can I be filled with Satan and I'm casting out demons? The whole house would be divided. That's what he's saying. And we need to remember that we need to be unified as well. But in verse 27, he says, on the other hand, no one can enter a strong man's house and rob his possession unless he first ties up the strong man, then he will rob his house. Basically, the strong man is Satan. It's the demon. It's a strong man. Didn't say a man, said a strong man. So if a strong man is involved with it, the demonic's involved with it, basically someone else has to come in that's stronger than him. Who is stronger than the demonic? Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God the Father. That's it. Not me. Not anyone here. So we know that for that demonic to come out of that individual, it has to have a power stronger than it. And it's not a person. It's Jesus Christ. That's why when they pray, they ask that it be delivered in the name of Jesus Christ. Because that name has authority. That name has authority. That name has authority here in this church. It is authority in this church. It should have authority in your own personal life. Let me tell you, if you're 40 years old and you're struggling, 30 years old, and you're struggling with the same old problems, you've got a problem. It's you. It's not you. It's you. You've got to work through it. You've got to figure it out. And what's been working is apparently not working. So what you think is working is not working. And the only way to get through that is to let one that is more powerful than you to work through it, and it is Jesus Christ. So no one can enter a strong man's house and rob him of his possession. Because if a demonic is in a person, then there is possession. That means possess that person. And believe me, that person is not running around with their head spinning around and doing all kinds of crazy things. They're going to do some things. They're very masquerading as an angel of light. But he said, I assure you, people will be forgiven for all sins and whatever blasphemies that they may blaspheme. But whoever blasphemed against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin because they were saying he has an unclean spirit. These guys were jealous. That's what they were. They were jealous. We need to remember not to be jealous of other churches and other ministries. But these guys were jealous. They would come to the point so bad that they were claiming that Jesus had demonic in him. But Jesus didn't have demonic in him. He was the Son of God. The ministries that we have here, as Bob said, they are not, I did not create them. This church did not create them. This is a God's vision. It's the only reason that it's sustaining today is God's vision. It's the only reason that we can sensibly think that we're going to reach a budget that is, I don't even know how much big, it's just a big budget. I'm just saying compared to what we do, it's going to have to be 3 times more than the church's budget. But it's never been about money. It's been about people. It's been about people. Now I want to flip back real quick to the Good Samaritan, chapter 10 of Luke. The Samaritan was on his journey. He saw an individual and he had compassion. Now, because he had compassion, he had something that we all think that we have, but compassion is not just words. Compassion is action. If you feel somebody, I feel sad for that person. But it's not until you put action into it when you have compassion. When Jesus looked, he had compassion and he fed the people. It's about putting your hands on the plow and start working it. So what did this individual do? He used what he had. He bandaged his wounds. He put some olive oil on him and some wine and put him on a donkey and got him all kind of fixed up. He was the ambulance. Instead of the ambulance car, he puts him on a donkey, whatever it is. Camel, horse, whatever. He knows exactly where to take this person to an inn. I want to remind you that every time we leave the church, we should be good Samaritans. We should be good Samaritans. Every time we leave the church, our eyes should see. Always be aware. But then he takes him to the inn. And he takes him to the inn and he drops him off. Gives the guy some money. And he leaves. He says, you know what, when I come back, if there's any more money that you need, I'll give it to you. Now the guy does his piece. Everybody has a part. He does his piece. He sees him out there. He's broken. He puts the effort in, takes time, helps him, puts him in there, gets him to the inn, drops off even some dollars. Used his supplies, his time, and his own money. But in the inn, there's work to be done there too. Because he says, when I come back, I'll reimburse you. Because I'm asking you to take care of him. So in the end, there's the end. This is what we do here. We take care of people. I'm afraid sometimes that we might be a part of this church for 20 years and never been a part of helping take care of people. But taking care of people is going to be just like that Good Samaritan, but it's even going to be more. Don't think that we got it all together because you may have a loved one that ends up in an inn. Addictions are nothing to play with. And I don't mean addiction just being an alcohol and drug addiction. I'm talking pornography addiction. I'm talking spending addiction, money addiction, eating addiction. Addiction is a beast. It just takes over. And it consumes you, and then it consumes that one area of your whole life and pushes everything out. It's all focused on that one piece that causes addiction, that addiction. And it's a beast. I'm praying that the Lord will bring a few more people to the church. We need people to fill. We need more people here, not just because we want to fill it, but we do need to. Honestly, we need to fill. Honestly, more people in this community need to be coming here. There's a lot of brokenness in this community. But that being said, we need some more people to serve. But this church is only so big, and we need more people to serve. We're going to need some men to come and help with teaching at the Men's Life House. We're still looking for some staff to work there. I want you to know this. The inn's never going to be clean. The inn is never going to be clean. Because when someone is coming in, someone's going out, someone else is coming in. We have an opportunity anytime you want to be down at the soup kitchen, the meal ministry down there, and to be a part of that. But I also understand, I look around and I do see a lot of people doing a lot of things. And I am thankful for that. But we are kind of an Alamo type of group. We need some more servants. We need more servants. When you hear the scripture that says, what we just read, then he went home and the crowd gathered so that they were not even able to eat. That's the line in the sand where many people say, I'm not going there. But this church has the ability, this church has had this whole thing about them always, to see that line and still step over it. Because I believe that you do love the Lord. I do believe that you want to keep serving Jesus in the capacity and the callings that he has called us to do. Is there times to take a refreshment? Yes. Is there a time sometime to step out moment for ministry if that's what you feel you need to gather your brain and just rest and get yes, there's a time for that and then get back into it. This is a sign of a good church, I will tell you. I believe it is when I can go down the church roster and go, oh, who can we get for this? And I go, and I have a list. I'm like, well, this person does this, this, this person does that, this person does this, 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 and that. I look down there, and I'm like, this church is busy. Not being busy bodies, but being busy about the ministries, being busy about the church. So I'm thankful for all of you. And let me remind you, whether you're passing out bulletins or giving out coffee or doing donuts or you're teaching a Sunday school class or you're working at the meal, whatever it is, if you're doing it with the love of Jesus, you're serving him. And we need all those spots filled. But can we come to the agreement that this church is, it's okay that if we don't have time to eat for a minute, is it okay that we're going to keep serving? We're going to get that meal sooner or later, but sometimes a meal missed is sometimes okay. Unity is what God wants amongst his believers, with obedience and love for others, not to be like the scribes. We and New Life Fellowship have a calling that is bigger than ourselves. And we have fulfilled a lot of what God has called us to do. But the scripture says where much is given, much is acquired. But much, where much has been asked for, much more will be asked for. Which means you keep doing what God calls you to do, he has a tendency to give you more. And you're accountable for it. But you know, I'd rather be in God's will doing his thing than on the road to doing my own thing. We still have a men's house to finish and we still have a men's house to open. But we're not done. There is still a children's shelter to open. And I'll probably be in conversations with that in December. Just conversation. We had one last December. You see, whenever the church is at a point on the ministry, I'm kind of over to the next one. Right, Miss Shoemaker? Right? But it's okay. God has a plan for the building across the street. But it's got to be his plan. I truly believe that God gets glory out of a small church. I really do. I really do believe God gets glory out of this average attendance of 65 on Sunday. But I still would believe that he would still get glory out of 100 people. Still considered a pretty small church. Especially when you're talking ministry budgets of like 300,000, which is where it's going to go when you got to do a whole new big program like the Men's Life House. Even a church of 100 would have a hard time with that, with a church budget probably pushing 120, 130. I'm just guessing. So you're talking between the church and the ministries, we could be well over 400, possibly close to 500,000. That's pretty big, even for a church of 100, isn't it? So I went back, and I'm going to close with this. I went back, and I'm trying to work this out in my own brain, in my own heart, and through my own prayers. Why is this church still at 65 on average Sunday? What? come to the conclusion is this, my opinion only, my time in prayer. As I believe that Satan has done a lot of work in this community. I believe this stuff that we're talking about, Beelzebub, we're talking about all the demonic in there, there's a lot more playing in this area than you think. I believe if you go back to read the book of Job, the first two chapters, you'll get an understanding of what happens to a godly man, a godly person, just the attack that demonic does. But if you go back and you read that story, and you're not changing biblical history, but you put where Job is, and you put New Life Fellowship, and you begin to see that I believe that there can be maybe not just not a hedge that God puts around his people, but I also believe that demonic can put a hedge to keep people from hearing the gospel. Scripture calls it blinding the lost person. I believe this community and this neighborhood is blinded. I can come anytime on any Sunday service and I see more cars parked on the street. Everybody's home. First Baptist across the street, run maybe 25. Trinity, we're kind of dipping down. But this community would relate more with us and I think First Baptist than any other church in the community. There are a few that might go to another church here or there, but the majority are at home, living in loneliness, seclusion, fear, addicted, lostness, and feeling of hopelessness. Do you know of the 10 diseases, the 10 things that cause the most death in the United States, 10 most popular things that cause death in the United States? All of those are heart disease, cancer, all of those are all about the body, except number 10. Number 10 is suicide. 136 people commit suicide a day. 21 veterans take their life every day. People are checking out. They have no. They feel when people attempt that, and the attempts were just ridiculous. It was one. I think it was 1.36 million a year. When people get to a place of suicide, they're thinking hopelessness, which basically is there is no hope. I want to remind you that there is hope, and the hope is Jesus Christ. But people see no hope. And we have to keep the light on in this dark community. We have to keep our lighthouse light on. As dim as sometimes it is, we have to keep letting the light shine. Well, I believe darkness is keeping a wall there, keeping people from seeing it. We have done more outreach in the community than any other church in the city. And you know it. Just not in the last 2 years with COVID and all that. Well, we're going to be hitting it up again next year. I'm going to tell you what I know right now. When I said that statement, they know that. Now I'm talking a language that some of you know what I'm talking about. There's demonic out there that know us very well. I know people don't like this topic, but I'm telling you, what we just did was start a war is what we did. You want to hear a story? Just talk to Scott, January 15th, 2007, right across the street. He'll tell you about it. We started a war over there. There's a spiritual war that is going on, and it's not about food. It's not about housing. It's not about those things. But we use those tools to help people physically, but we also know that there is something spiritually wrong. Amen? People are starving to death spiritually. That's what these ministries are all about. Sharing the gospel to a broken world. And even with just some of the things I said today, even if a lot of things went over your head, I know there's some of you that are lonely. I know some of you are very lonely. And maybe even thought about checking out. I want to remind you, you start drawing close to God. You start getting around people. The devil is very good at what he does. But what he does is never good. We've been doing this for 20 years now, folks. I'm going to see if God has another 20 for me. I don't know. Maybe 10, maybe 5, I don't know. But I'm going to give it everything I've got. Because whether they know it or not, they don't know Christ. There's a vacancy in hell for anyone that doesn't. And I know this. God has a plan. And we're going to get through this. And we're going to lead with these ministries. And we're not going to get scared. Amen? We're not going to get scared. We're going to have some battles down the road. I'm going to tell you, when we do that children, we're going to have some battles. But you know what? If you do it what God's called you to do, it's the right thing. So I'm going to ask you today, as we get ready to close, so let's go ahead and stand. We're going to do that first. I was a little bit all over the place today, but I just wanted to share a lot of things about the ministries. I want you to remember that when we're outside the church, we are supposed to be the Good Samaritan. When we're inside the church, we are the innkeepers. I want to ask you that you pray for our leaders, Bob and Carla, and his staff at the Women's Life House and the volunteers at the Meal Ministry. I want you to pray for them. That we keep our staff going. That we keep our staff encouraged. Because it can be hard when ministry gets heavy and there is no time to eat. I want you to pray that we keep a good attitude. Amen.